Blog Talk Radio.
Folks stumble and fall, ain't nothing new at all. We just keep coming up with new ways of going down. Whether you're poor or rich, at the bottom of the ditch, you can finally see the light and turn your life around.
Well, hi there once again, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Mormon Vegetarian. I'm your host, Byron Elton, as usual, coming to you from the exquisitely beautiful Santa Barbara, California. And as always, my good friend and co-host, coming to us from Orem, Utah, Elder Rogan Taylor. How are you, Rogue?
Good, buddy. How's it going?
It is going swimmingly well. I'm in Santa Barbara. How bad can it be? Hey, as I tell my friends, if it's good enough for Oprah, it's good enough for me.
Good enough.
Although I discovered it before she did. So you just got back from a play. Tell us what you went and saw campus there.
Yeah, we went and saw The Count of Monte Cristo. It's being performed for the first time at BYU. Frank Wildhorn did the music, and tell you what, it was pretty good. Yeah, I didn't know what to expect, but I really enjoyed it.
You'd recommend it?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Was there an intermission?
There was. Yep.
So I'm assuming as a church-based school, as you had the intermission, there was nothing but healthy plant-based snacks for purchase and consumption. Would that be a fair assumption?
You know, at the Dion Concert Hall, there are no snacks for sale. So you either bring your own or you don't have any.
Well, that's good. Well, hey, listen, since last we met, which was last Thursday evening, we had a great conversation with Jeff Hickson and Heather Hernandez. Lots happened. I just thought I'd give you a couple of highlights. So Friday and Saturday night, the highly ranked BYU men's volleyball team was in Santa Barbara playing UCSB. And I think at the time, this I could be off a little bit, I think we were ranked like 4, and they were ranked 8. I say they, it's, you know, after BYU, I cheer for the Gauchos.
Right.
And so Friday night, as you know, when these volleyball teams come to town, they always have a two-game series. They play Friday and Saturday evening. And so Friday night at Robertson Gym, which is a fairly small, it's more like a high school gym, but it's on campus there. We showed up, and you know what's fascinating is we have probably, I don't know, at least twice as many BYU fans there as they did UCSB fans.
We've been there many times. It's fun.
Yeah, but in typical kind of reserved BYU Mormon, you know, fashion, the handful of UCSB supporters drowned us out. For the life of me, I couldn't get much of a cheering section going, and they just thumped us, beat us 3-0, and it wasn't even that close. So the next night, all of a sudden, there's like another 400 BYU fans, and I'll tell you the difference was the players' wives were there. They weren't there Friday night, but they came in Saturday night.
Yeah.
And the wives are really enthusiastic, and we were sitting right next to them. And, of course, they cheer all game long, and so I finally had some support, and we had that place rocking. And we won the first two games handily. They came back and won the next two, so it went to the fifth and deciding set, and the place was just up for grabs. And as when you get to a fifth set, and it only goes to 15 points, unlike 25 for the rest of the games, there's a decided home court advantage, right, because you got, you know, your home court, and it's only 15 points. And we had just lost two games, and I'll be darned if we didn't come back and beat them 15-13. So it was one of the more exciting matches I'd ever seen. So so we had that, and it was a lot of fun. So and I think we're you know, we're ranked top 10 at least. So I think they're back home. So yeah. You go to all the games there, don't you?
Yeah, BYU dropped to number 7 this week, and UCSB is 8.
Yeah, so anyway, well, one other thing I wanted to mention about the game, you remember my tennis coach, Dmitry Yazachev.
Yeah.
So Dmitry, who actually coached Grigor Dimitrov, who's a top 10 player in the world right now, when he was a junior in Bulgaria. And now Dmitry's a coach out here in Santa Barbara. So I go to the game Friday night, and I'm reading through the roster, and I see that there's a player on the team, on our team, BYU, from Bulgaria.
Right.
Kirill, you know, K-I-R-I-L, and I can't remember his last name. And, of course, I'm always looking for – yeah. And, by the way, really good player. He's a sophomore this year, number 5, big, tall kid. And so I thought – I'm always looking for good missionary opportunities. So I called Dmitry, and I said, Dmitry, you got to come to the game with me tomorrow night. There's a kid from Bulgaria. And he said, great. His son was in a – his son and daughter were in a citywide tennis tournament, and it all worked out, and they met me on campus. Unbelievable game. And after the game, we hung around, and the wives introduced us to the Bulgarian, and they really hit it off. They were just going – Dmitry told me after, he said, he was so delighted to be able to speak Bulgarian to somebody, and they couldn't get him away. So that was a great connection, and
that's great.
Had a lot of fun. So – yeah. So anyway, great week. And we should mention that next week, you and I are actually going to be together. So we need to talk about how we're going to do the show. But I think we should do a show from Carmel, from Monterey.
Yeah. Yeah. And I may have a guest if we need one. But
oh, good. Good. Yeah, I'm going back. You know, I used to live in that town. And we're going in for the surprise birthday of a good friend of ours. And if you remember, some years ago, I actually interviewed you for my first attempt at Mormon Vegetarian, and I believe it was in Monterey, wasn't it? Didn't we were all there, the couple?
Where were we? Yeah.
I think it was Monterey.
That's right. Yeah.
Returning to the scene of the crime. Well, anyway, great week, and here we are. We're back again. We have a really terrific guest with us tonight, and a good friend of mine, by the way. So I want to just take a few minutes here and introduce him. His name is Matt Nurden, and we would encourage for anybody listening online that if you'd like to join the conversation tonight, you can call in area code 347-324-5516. We'd love to have you participate in our conversation tonight with Mr. Matt Nurden, and we'd like to give a warm Mormon Vegetarian to our good friend and plant-based colleague, Matt Nurden. Hi, Matt. How you doing?
Hey, Matt. Doing great, Byron. Rogan, thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Well, we're delighted to have you. I've known Matt for a long time. He actually lives here in Santa Barbara. Didn't grow up in Santa Barbara, which we're about to hear more about, but we've known each other for some time, and I've been talking to him for quite a while about being on the show, and we finally landed him. He kept saying things like, well, I'm not that interesting, and who'd be interested in me, and I said, oh, no, you've got a great story, so we're going to have a great conversation with you tonight. And, Matt, at some point tonight, you have to work in the story of you and I being at our favorite Indian restaurant in Santa Barbara and a remarkable experience that happened there. I won't say anything more about it. I'm going to let you tell the story because you were an eyewitness to it, but you don't have to tell it right now. But
I'm a little surprised that story hasn't worked its way into your show. It's a fine vegetarian establishment. I can't believe this will be the first time we're hearing it.
Well, it was one of the highlights of my life. Every once in a while, I still think about it, and I go, what the heck was that?
No, this is the top 10 for sure.
Yeah, this is a great story. Well, listen, Matt, delighted to have you. What we'd like to do, and Rogan and I will just kind of trade off questions here. Let me start with you, and perhaps you could just take a little time and tell us a little bit about your life, where you grew up in Oregon, and what brought you to Santa Barbara. But just take your time and tell us a little bit about your growing up and bring us to the present.
And we only have an hour, right?
We have an hour, yeah. And so if you include all the interesting stuff, we'll still have about 40 minutes. So
yeah,
no,
right.
Just kidding. No, go ahead.
Boy, where to start? You know, as you mentioned, I'm not from California. I grew up in Oregon, so you know, a little different childhood than growing up here in Santa Barbara. Grew up on the eastern side, out in the middle of nowhere that nobody's ever heard of or been to, and born in a town that had about 50 people as a population. I think it, as I understand it, it's the only public boarding school in the United States. My dad was a school teacher there. It's so far out of the middle of nowhere that farmers have to fly their kids in their little crop planes and land on the football field and drop them off for the week and head
wow.
home. So I spent the first 5 years of my life living in a town with 50 people and not very close to pretty much anywhere. And then we, you know, followed my dad around to jobs. He took jobs as a school administrator. So as a school principal superintendent, you only get to stay popular for so long until the school board gets tired of you, and then you move on to the next one. So I lived in about four different tiny little towns. The biggest town I lived in until I graduated high school had about 300 people. So this takes rural to a completely new level.
Yeah,
when you're talking Santa Barbara, but yeah, just out in farming community, lots of wonderful opportunities growing up out there to just get in trouble and to be safe doing it. So spent a lot of time in ditches and climbing up grain elevators and spent more time outside. Didn't have a television until I was well into high school. So we were blissfully unaware of what was going on in the rest of the world most of the time. So fun way to grow up in a lot of ways. So
that's great. So
yeah,
Matt,
go ahead.
Let me ask you. I don't know you, and I don't know your story at all. But I want to get right to where did you come to a plant-based diet? Kind of what got you there, and how'd it happen?
Yeah, that's perhaps a different approach than most plant-based folks. It wasn't for anything except for the fact that I just don't have a real taste for meat. So it didn't really originate much beyond that originally. I was pretty fresh off of my mission and had grown up around meat. When you live out in the middle of, you know, middle of nowhere, you're kind of staples are hamburger. And then when you're not eating hamburger, you're eating hamburger. And, so I had a very, very limited palate as a child, and so I sort of associated meat with red meat exclusively, didn't have a whole lot of other you know, options. And so as I sort of came into my own, I just didn't really like it that much. And once, you know, when you're on a mission, you're not real choosy about what you eat. So about the time I got wrapped up with my mission and making my own sort of decisions on what I want to eat, and you know, it just very rarely was meat, and eventually just seemed sort of a natural decision to sort of announce, if you will, that I'm a vegetarian. And so yeah, it's been coming up on almost 20 years ago I just officially cut the cord and started calling myself a vegetarian, because it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to eat.
Yeah, well, that's great. Did the word of wisdom come into play ever? Or did you go back and ever read that and say, hey, this is what I need to be doing?
Well, I would say that was more of a later life development. I definitely have studied it and sort of taken that to heart a lot more as I've gotten older. As a young adult, no, it was not a spiritual decision. It was definitely based solely on gravitating towards those things that I wanted to eat, as opposed to those things that my mom was putting on my plate. So
yeah,
it was. But yeah, I mean, as I've gotten older and the more I have studied, and the more you really start to read the wording there on the Word of Wisdom, it seems like most of us are almost blatantly ignoring about half of what's in there, and
yeah.
what it's really trying to say. So as a vegetarian, it's easy to, I think, be at peace with that, because it's it seems so clear. But yeah, it took me a while to get to that point, because it just wasn't ever. I didn't really feel like I had to look at it that way, because I just knew it wasn't an issue for me.
Yeah, and you've continued to study some of the science behind it that really seems to be aligning itself with the Word of Wisdom.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I feel that way now. Now, studying the science and applying it in my own life are two entirely different things. So, as our debate about what we might refer to, my contribution to the segment, definitely, I'm not my wife would explain it like this. I'm the only vegetarian who doesn't like salad. So. While that's not entirely true, it isn't my natural tendency to gravitate toward vegetables when I have chips and other much worse things for me on the plate, at least until more recently. But I've spent a good portion of my adult vegetarian life trying to find things that I could eat that didn't have meat in them, but that aren't necessarily good for me.
Well, let's talk about that just for a second, Matt, because you're right. As we were talking about his appearance on the podcast, and I said, Matt, we need some sort of a hook, a title for this. Last week it was From Opera to Okra, which I thought was a good one. And so we ended up on, and I had to make a decision between Matt Nurden, vegan sculptor, or Matt Nurden, sculpted vegan. And we actually landed on vegan sculptor.
that makes it sound a little more like a work in progress.
Yeah, that's right. You just listen, in the words of Michelangelo, right? You just take this beautiful block of marble and chip away everything that's not David, right? And you'll end it up with the sculpted vegan. But and one of the things I really admire about Matt, of course, is he's very humble and self-effacing, and was very willing to kind of talk about some of the challenges that he's had, in the 20 years that he has adopted this certainly meat-free diet and whatnot. So we should talk a little bit about that, Matt, if you don't mind, because
one
of the things that we've talked about on the show before, which I think is really important, is that everybody's journey is different. Everybody's situation is different. Now, in your case, for instance, you're the only vegan in the family, right? Your wife is not, your kids are not. And so, you have those dynamics to work with. And you've struggled with your weight. And so just being vegetarian doesn't necessarily make you incredibly healthy or, slim and trim. And in pure Mormon fashion, we tend to agonize over these things and feel all kinds of guilt, which we shouldn't, because, we're all in our own path. But maybe you could just take a little time and talk about, your experience with that and your 2015 resolutions, which I'm very proud of you for. And if you want to work in fat guys in little coats, feel free to do that. So go ahead.
Sure. So, I've spent a good percentage of my conversations with people, who were curious about, vegetarianism. And when they hear I'm a vegetarian, I have to spend the first 5 minutes of the conversation convincing them that it's true. Because, people have a definite stereotype, in their minds of what a vegetarian looks like. And it isn't, someone who's my svelte 250 pounds and very comfortable or not comfortable, but in a larger size than they're used to seeing, sickly and thin vegetarians who eat nothing but celery and lettuce. So It's you know, it's definitely as you say, we all have different approaches to it, and we all have different backgrounds that bring us to different places with it. And mine was definitely one that grew up in an environment where, you know, if it wasn't meat, it was you know, refined sugar-based starch foods, and developed a real, I'll call it a dependency on sugar and you know, carbs and all things as easy processed foods at a very young age. And so as I, you know, came into vegetarianism, I didn't really, you know, seek to change those habits. I just continued to go about my business eating things that were in that same category, but that just didn't happen to have meat in them. And so, you know, to call myself a food addict would be, I think, an accurate description. I am like everyone else in this epidemic or pandemic that was going on in the U.S. right now of overweight processed food, you know, consumers. Being a vegetarian does not exempt you from those realities. So it's been a lifelong struggle, and you know, the fat guys in the little coats is at least one iteration of trying to, you know, find accountability by, you know, lumping yourself together with some friends and having weight loss contests. And I have seven siblings, so, and most of us, or you know, almost all of us struggle with weight. So we, you know, we'll get together every year or two and put together big siblings, you know, contest. And, you know, so that's been sort of my cycle of this roller coaster of up and down and dropping really, you know, significant chunks of weight, but never really landing on a long-term permanent solution, but really just focused on the, you know, the time frame in which, you know, we're focused on losing the weight. And once you hit that milestone, then you revert back to the bag of Doritos and the Snickers bars and the soda, which, you know, are just, you know, all wonderfully vegetarian and delightful, but that are just real symptoms of the problem that I have, and I think a lot of other people struggle with.
So you published a very public personal manifesto at the beginning of the
year,
which I mentioned I was very proud. Tell us a little bit about that. And you got a really good reaction to it, but this might be helpful to some of the people that are listening. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So it sort of occurred to me that a lot of my choices and decisions towards weight loss were more in the category of resolutions. This year I'm going to lose 50 pounds. This year I'm going to, you know, kick this habit. This year I'm going to do this, this, and this. And we all come to a point to where we recognize that those types of exercises are pretty futile and don't have any lasting power long term. And so I decided to take a different approach. I still aligned it with the beginning of the year because I had, you know, flown the holidays like where most of us are prone to doing who struggle. But decided that instead of a resolution this year, I was going to publish a manifesto. And in it, I basically outlined, you know, what my problems were and said that as opposed to making decisions that this is what I'm going to do for this year, I basically said this is who I am from now on. I don't have it in front of me, so I'll have to paraphrase, but I basically said I am no longer the type of person who drinks soda. I'm no longer the type of person who eats processed foods. I'm no longer the person who will frequent or even patronize an establishment with a drive-through. And just went down the list of some of the things that I personally struggle with and sort of broadcast to my family and friends and Facebook and anyone I could think of that might hear that from this day forward for the rest of my life, you know, I will never revert back to these things, to sort of broadcast it so widely and so publicly that anyone I might ever go out to eat with is going to know that, hey, I'm not going to order a soda. Anyone who I am going to a movie with is going to know that, you know, that I'm not going to order movie popcorn and the soda and a snack to go with it. That these are just decisions that are lifelong decisions that I'm starting from this time forward, so that I don't feel like that when I reach a certain weight, and concurrently, this has had immediate weight loss effects. I've lost, you know, over 20 pounds in January alone.
Wow.
But when I hit those milestones of weight loss, that I don't say to myself, okay, now I can reward myself with, you know, a big gulp. I can reward myself with a popcorn at the movies. I can reward myself with, you know, whatever else it is that I said, this is something I'm no longer doing, but that this is a life-changing decision that I, you know, I want to, you know, be healthy for my kids when they have grandkids and they're, when I have grandkids.
Absolutely. Well, good for you. That's exciting. Hey, Rogan, I was just going to say, we do have a caller Matt, and we're delighted to, I believe, from Santa Barbara. So welcome to Mormon Vegetarian. Who we got on the line?
This is Jeff Hickson.
Jeff Hickson, a good friend of the program. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well, thanks.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Matt. Hi, Rogan.
Hey, Jeff. Hey.
And Jeff actually knows Matt, so love to hear your question or your comments about or for Matt.
Oh yeah, well, hey Matt, I didn't tell you last time I saw you, but I think 1 month in, I've seen some noticeable change. So nice work so far.
Thank you.
You know, I should mention when while Jeff's on the line and. Actually, a milestone for us, Rogan. I don't know if you've looked at the statistics for the show lately, but we've now reached over 10,000 accesses to our shows, which is a big milestone for us. And I'm not quite sure why this is, other than the fact that it was a terrific show and you know, fabulous guests. But we had by about 50% the highest audience we've ever had for Mormon Vegetarian last week when we had Jeff and Heather on. It was not even close to being the biggest episode we've ever aired. So congratulations to everybody involved.
That's cool.
Jeff, your beautiful wife must have told all of her friends because it couldn't be your friends. So what's going on there?
that's what I think. She must be.
Yeah, so it was terrific. Well, yeah, no, it's so Matt has lost a lot of weight, and what do you say, 20 pounds already in January, Matt?
Yeah, a little over.
And how do you feel?
Better. You know, I'm still overweight, so, you know, but better. I'd gotten to a point where I wasn't feeling ideal, so I'm on the path to getting back to where I want to be and staying there.
Yeah, good job. Morning. That's awesome.
Turn this over to Rogan, but Jeff, if you'd like to stay on, you're more than welcome to stay on with us and ask a question if you like, but Rogan, why don't you take it?
Well, first of all, congratulations, Matt. I'm looking at your manifesto, and it's awesome, and you know, just putting it out there, and it kind of gives you a little stronger commitment. Again, I don't know you, but I'm curious about the sculptor part. Can you tell me about, is that your living, or is that just what you like to do?
I told Byron not to bring that up because now any of my art friends are going to call and harass me. you know, I spent a good percentage of my early married life in the sculpting world. We were living in Portland, Oregon at the time. That's where we were living when I sort of came into vegetarianism and had just gotten married as a young man and was attending college at Lewis and Clark College there and in their fine arts program. And so I got into ceramics, had a brother who was, you know, a potter and kind of got into ceramics and wasn't really big into throwing pottery, but quickly developed an interest in hand building and sculpting. And I had grown up as a son of someone who did a lot of woodworking and furniture building. And so I really liked being in sort of the studio environment. So I ended up getting an undergraduate degree in ceramics and sculpting, and then after a brief stint in law school and realizing that wasn't the path I was destined to take, I moved on to a graduate program and ended up down in Tucson, Arizona for 3 years studying in fine arts again and ended up with a master's in fine arts in sculpting. So yeah, it was basically my education is in sculpting, and I taught for 3 years as a graduate teacher, and had sort of envisioned myself as a college professor in sculpting, and And, you know, life then takes over and you have a young family and you have to take care of them. And most of the people in that you know, field spend the next 10 years as sort of struggling artists and, you know, exhibiting their work around the world and piecing together grants and all of the things that you have to do to really put together a nice, wonderful portfolio to be able to land one of those, you know, very highly sought after professor positions. And you know, looking down the path and looking at my young family and the need to have someone help take care of some of the more pressing needs of life, it just didn't fall into place for me to head down that path at that time. So I haven't really been actively involved in sculpting for the last bit since we've lived here in Santa Barbara, but it is definitely a passion that someday I'll return to when the time is right. So, long answer to a short question.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to Matt Nurden in Santa Barbara, California, a vegan sculptor, soon to be a sculpted vegan. It's time for Mormon Vegetarian News of the Week. That's right. 2014 has been declared as the year of the vegan. Rogan and I have scoured the internet for the latest and greatest and most useful information about a plant-based diet just for you. Okay, Rogue, you're up.
So, hey, Byron, my first article is, we've talked about Jane Birch before, and her stuff continues to just amaze me. I keep thinking, Jane, you're going to run out of stuff, but every week it's like something that's really helpful to people working on changing their diet. This week, she calls it the Word of Wisdom Way to Weight Loss, Rely Wholly on the Lord. And she touches on just a lot of obstacles, things that people struggle with, and, you know, lack of energy, brain fog, shame, lack of self-control, low self-esteem. She goes through these and kind of talks about other challenges like taste. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, being plant-based cannot taste good. It's not convenient. Is it really nutritious? So, you know, social pressure, comfort, the nation. She hits on each one of these things. And, you know, she's amazing. And Jane, if you're listening, keep putting the stuff out. It's awesome. And so I'll post this article, and I think it would be great for everybody to read this if they haven't already seen it. Great information, well thought out, and just really helpful for people that might be struggling or might be pondering changing their diet. Great information. Good job, Jane. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, she posted that in our – this would be a good chance to plug our Facebook group. It's Mormon Vegetarian. There's actually quite a few groups on Facebook that cater to LDS members who are trying to follow a plant-based diet. There's Mormon vegans and LDS vegans and Mormon vegetarians and vegans and Mormon vegetarians. Our one in particular is Mormon Vegetarian singular, and Jane did post that today, and I had commented on there. I said, you know, I feel healthier just reading those things. But as I was reading it today, and I was thinking about our conversation with Matt tonight, Matt, I don't know if you're familiar with the series of articles that Jane has written for Meridian Magazine. It's an online LDS magazine, and really fabulous. A lot of it's covered in her book, Discovering the Word of Wisdom. But and kudos to the editors of the folks over at Meridian Magazine, because it's a wide LDS audience, and I know there's plenty of people who have been moved by that. But for somebody like Matt, who has already kind of made the spiritual and intellectual decision to not eat animals and animal products, but still struggles with this idea of, you know, I'm eating stuff I know I shouldn't be eating and I'd like to lose weight and whatnot, I think you'd find this really super helpful, Matt. So if you go on Mormon Vegetarian, you'll see her stuff, and I'm sure actually Jane would love to at some point highlight you too, because she does a blog where she does the stories of people like yourself. So, yeah, that's a great one. Thank you, yeah. Rogan. Well, my first story, you know, we talk a lot about health on this podcast, and we also talk a lot about matters religious and spiritual because of our faith. There's a couple of other really good reasons to be plant-based, and one is, of course, our stewardship over the earth and the environment. And the other, of course, the treatment of animals, which, as Latter-day Saints, we know more than anybody else, the responsibility that we've given not only to take care of them, but to be kind to them. And, you know, there's a story of Joseph Smith and the snake and all of that. And I'm always encouraged when I see companies that are going out of their way to provide cruelty-free options that are either good for the environment, good for animal friends, or both. And this next news right. item qualifies for that. For those of you who like to run as part of your regimen, you know that one of the top running shoe companies is ASICS, A-S-I-C-S. And they've announced they've launched a vegan running shoe for 2015. It's called the Gel Light 5. And it's the latest, actually it's not the first, but the latest cruelty-free shoe offered by the manufacturer. And you can buy them online. And it's made with faux leather and suede. And it's got an eco-friendly mesh and rubber. And you can actually buy them in the stores or online. Only in the United States. We do have listeners from around the world. And they come in various colors. And kudos to ASICS for going the extra mile, no pun intended, to make it a more cruelty-free and kinder experience. So that's my first item. Rogue?
Yeah, great. Yeah, I'd like to see those. So my second item was kind of generated out from a thread earlier this week on Jane's Facebook page. A writer wrote in and said how she was kind of struggling and kind of the last thing she was having trouble with was giving up fish. And I just posted a thing on there, and a few people thought it was helpful, and I thought it might be helpful for others. You know, there's a lot of press about fish is good for you and get the fish oil. And, you know, it's just not true. I mean, that's not what the research really says. And, you know, those fish people have a pretty good marketers. But what I did is I went to Dr. Greger's website, nutritionfacts.org, I did a search on fish, and I'm going to post this because it brings up all his videos about why all the different concepts on why fish really isn't good for you. Everything from how it can be harmful to pregnant women to the brain fog it causes, fish oil, how toxic it can be, the PCBs in children. He has one called mad fish disease. He has one about artificial coloring in fish and mercury in tuna. Anyway, it's just a wealth of information. And, you know, if anybody's struggling or thinking fish is still kind of okay some of the time, you got to watch these videos and you got to educate yourself. They're really awesome. So I'll post this link with all these videos on it and maybe helpful to somebody. What
else fantastic. You got? Yeah, so the last one I have is a fabulous, there's a blogger for the U.S. News and World Report, and I'll post this in the Facebook as well. Her name is Cameron Wells. She's a dietitian and a really terrific, I read this two or three times today, actually. It was so good. The headline of it is Plant-Based Diets, a Prescription for Optimal Health. The subheadline is New Year, New You, and the science is clear on how to do it. And it's chock full of great information. It talks about some you know, this trend towards healthier eating and particularly meat reducing and plant-based. And she, as a dietitian, and fortunately a dietitian who gets it, she says they couldn't be happier. She goes on to talk about some really interesting statistics. 70% of American adults are overweight or obese, which, of course, is a huge risk factor for type 2 diabetes and for heart disease and as you've talked about before, some forms of cancer. And, you know, right. this is a problem that, you know, crosses all genders and political party lines and affects people in all 50 states and it is causing 75% of all the health care that we spend on chronic disease. So it goes on to talk about how these research studies that show that populations who opt for the plant-based fare are the trimmest and the healthiest on the planet. She talks very specifically about this man in San Jose, California. The guy's name is Eric O'Gray. Not unlike most of us, and Matt shared his story earlier in Oregon, grew up on the standard American diet. 5 years ago, this guy weighed 280 pounds. He developed type 2 diabetes, elevated blood pressure, cholesterol. He felt terrible and had pain all the time. Guy was spending $1,000 a month on medications just to ward off the symptoms. Now, that's 5 years ago. Today, the guy runs marathons and competing with athletes that are half of his age, right? And the secret, of course, is he went on a plant-based diet. And it was after he heard about President Bill Clinton and his experience. And so this guy embarked on an exercise routine, and he was stocking his refrigerator with produce and almond milk. And the pounds just started to melt off. His blood sugar went down. The cholesterol went way down. And he lost over 100 pounds. And he's kept it off for four years. And it goes on and on to talk about the city of Little Rock, Arkansas, of all places, that it's adopted. Of course, that's where Bill Clinton is from, actually signed a proclamation to bring this approach to the masses. So I'm going to post this article. I thought it would be particularly interesting for those of us who try to eat as healthy as we can, but we're, you know, constantly worried about what we're eating and making sure that it's good. And the nice thing about this is, you know, you don't count calories. You don't have to measure your food. You just eat really good food. And you turn around and you look like you're supposed to look. So, fabulous article, and I will post that. So thank you, Rogan, for those, and we look forward to seeing those on the group as well. So we're talking tonight with Matt Nerden. He lives here in Santa Barbara, California, grew up in Oregon. He's been following a non-meat diet for at least 20 years, and he's sharing his story with us if you'd like to join the conversation. Jeff in Santa Barbara, you can call us at 347-324-5516. Now, I want to ask, get back in this conversation with Matt. And Matt is, he's a remarkable guy. I got to tell you, I could go on and on about Matt and his family. And this is a guy that not only shows up to church every week, but he gets it. And he actually puts all this stuff into practice. He's a Christian in every sense of the word. And with all the other things that he's doing, he teaches early morning seminary. And so, Matt, this year is the Doctrine and Covenants. So at some point, and I don't know when it is, but you're going to have to teach Section 89. So I know you've thought about this. Tell us what's going on with Section 89 and your class in particular.
Well, you know, we haven't gotten there yet. We've got a few weeks to go, but it is coming up. That was one of the more amusing parts about our beginning of the year sort of orientation with the parents was that, you know, I sat them all down, gave them the what for's for the year and kind of told them what we were going over. And then I told them, I just want to be, you know, upfront with all of you. You are going to be having your child taught DNC 89 by a vegetarian this year. So if you want to come and make sure you're okay with how it goes, I'd love you to be there and share any thoughts and questions you might have. So it'll be interesting. You know, we in the church system have to be careful not to step on too many toes with our personal opinions, but I think there's enough in the Doctrine and Covenants that so far from needing to have my opinion inflicted upon it, that it's just pretty clear in and of itself. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a fun conversation. It's an outstanding group of, you know, 18 active 14, 15-year-old freshmen that just make early morning seminary just a lot of fun. Two of which are my own. I've got, you know, two kids in the class of my own, so it makes it a lot of fun.
Well, you'll find it interesting that we did have a woman post on Mormon Vegetarian today, actually. She's teaching seminary and said, hey, DNC 89 is coming up. Help. Yeah, not help so much as does anybody have any suggestions, and I weighed in, and I'm curious if you've got any specific plans, but part of my advice was, well, listen, make sure you reread the series of articles in Meridian Magazine by Jane, which is very scripturally based and scientifically validated. And then, of course, my biggest advice to people is, you know, why don't you read it, or have them read it and then say, so what do you think? And then there's this big eye-opening experience. People say, oh, geez, I never looked at it that way. And then it typically leads to, well, then why don't the leaders teach it? Which, of course, they have. And so I'm just curious if you've got any special ideas or way that you're going to approach that.
Well, my thought on it is that, you know, we spend a lot of time, you know, asking questions and going over, you know, stories from prophets and videos and all sorts of special material that the church provides for these students to try to keep it interesting. Because, you know, it's a little bit of a tough sales pitch to pull in a bunch of young kids and just studying doctrine every day. DNC 89, however, I feel is one that I just want to spend some time on the scriptures. It's an easy conversation starter to just go over the words and to really have them read them probably for the first time. I think most of us as kids, we heard about the Word of Wisdom, but we never really read it. And, you know, we had someone else tell us what it was, but we never spent a lot of time really looking at it and seeing what the words are actually saying. And so we all know all about the don'ts, but we don't know much about the do's. And I think that spending some time going over that and just the actual text itself is really my plan. I go through a lot of gimmicks and games and fun and activities, and I don't think that's going to be my approach on DNC 89 time. I want them to really just let the revelation speak for itself, and then let them, you know, take it for what it means to them, and maybe give them some insights, and maybe have them have one of those aha moments a little younger than some of us, and earlier than, you know, I wish I'd had it at that age. I would have started this journey a lot earlier if I had really absorbed that as a, you know, freshman seminary student. So we'll see. Maybe I can convert a couple of my own family members in the process.
I think that's smart. You know, the Word of Wisdom in the Doctrine and Covenants just seems like it's so applicable every day, you know.
Yeah.
And just to get them to read it and ponder it will only open their minds. And, you know, perhaps, which kind of leads me to my next question, Matt, is how have you found the balance between your family? It sounds like your wife, and I don't know how many kids you have, but they're not eating the same diet, or maybe they do. I don't know. How's that working for you, and how do you handle it?
You know, it is a fine line. Byron, I'm sure would describe me as such, but I'm a very laid back, easygoing, non-confrontational kind of guy, and so my approach on it is, you know, I'm not going to inflict my personal beliefs in a painful manner, especially on those that I share a house with. So, I've had various attempts throughout the years. I had, you know, my wife has had different spells where she's gone long periods of time on a plant-based diet, and she enjoys it mostly. And I would say we eat the majority of the food that we eat in the home is plant-based. When we do have meat, it's always cooked separately so that, you know, I don't have to share, you know, my vegetables with the same pan of, you know, a bunch of bacon has been cooked in or something. But, but yeah, it's one of those. I had our oldest son who's he spent about a year, you know, trying the vegetarian lifestyle. And I think he liked it, but it just didn't have the conviction that it was, you know, the right thing to do. And so I would say it's similar to the struggles that I go through with other things. I mean, it's always been hard for me to empathize with people in regard to the meat thing, because I just don't like it. And so I'm like, well, why would you want to eat, you know, a hammer? Why would you want to eat bacon? Because it just doesn't taste good to me. But, you know, that same person, my wife would say, why would you want to eat ice cream? Why would you want to drink milk? Because, you know, she doesn't like dairy products. And so, you know, it's just a thing that, you know, I live with and try to give them some kind of insight into how and why, and give them opportunities to try good vegetarian food. And my wife is an amazing vegetarian cook, so she makes it easy. makes amazing food that is plant-based. And so our kids eat very well as far as vegan and vegetarian options. We haven't gone over to getting them to, you know, take meat out entirely. So, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if down the road we had some of them transition over.
Well, Matt, we've got about 10 minutes left, and I think this is the appropriate time. Speaking about indeed being non-confrontational, which I will tell you that is very true. Matt is a peacemaker in the best sense of the word. To perhaps tell our listeners about the day you and I were in Tamira, which in Indian is magic. And a very interesting experience we had. You want to take it?
Yeah, I'd love to. You're going to have to fill in some of the details. I'm sure I'm a little rusty on this one, but one of our favorite pastimes is to go out for lunch and get some Indian food and have a couple, two or three places around town that we like to go. And this one place in particular just has an outstanding Indian food buffet. And Byron and I were enjoying a nice lunch, just having some nice conversation and wonderful Indian food. And I'm sitting here, you know, watching this person sort of head toward our table and looking right at us and just assuming, as I generally do when I'm out in public with Byron, that it's somebody who knows him. And then I'll just, you know, have them introduce themselves. And this person comes over and says something to the effect of, you know, I don't know if she asked you what your name was or whatever the case may have been. Just proceeded to throw a glass of water right in Byron's face, all over his chest, just soaked him with water.
Really?
And to which Byron, you know, rather calmly said, well, why did you do that? She said, because you worked for somebody. I forget
Rico.
The name already, but
I think it was Rico.
I don't know. You work for, you know, Rico. And he's like, I don't know who Rico is. And she's like, oh, yes, you do. You work for Rico. I was beside myself. I wasn't really sure how to handle this one. So that was, I think we got a free meal out of the deal, right? So it was worth it.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, it didn't quite cover the dry cleaning bill, but, yeah, she's walking over, and I look out of the corner of my eye, and I thought, I'm thinking, should I personalize the autograph or, you know, or just sign whatever she's got, right? And all of a sudden I end up with this. Fortunately, it was just a glass of water. She said, so I said, what the heck? I don't know if that was my language, but I said, well, what was that for? And she said, you work with Rico. What the hell is Rico? it was pretty funny. So, but the best part of that was the whole time, Matt never moved a muscle. I mean, if she'd have come at me with a knife, I don't think that, you know, he would have just sat and watched the whole thing. The least you could have done was video it with your phone so that we could have put it up on YouTube and made a little bit of money. But you were paralyzed.
Best seat in the house.
I have to tell one other quick story. Matt and I this Monday went to Chipotle. On their if you ordered something with the shredded tofu, what they call sofritas, you get to go back and get another one. Did you go back and get your free one, Matt?
Sure did. Took my wife today. We had some lovely sofritas bowls and boy, good stuff.
Yeah, so I got to put in a real plug for Chipotle. So Linda and I, I said, listen, I got this podcast tonight. What do you want to eat? And she said, well, I kind of got a hankering for some Chipotle. And I said, oh, great. I get a free one. So I jump in the car and I go down. And I walk in and I walk up. And, of course, they're always so friendly. I mean, there's a reason that stock is going for $600 a share, right? I mean, the culture there is just amazing. And I went and said, how are you doing tonight, sir? And I said, I'm doing great because I'm about to get a free meal. And they said, oh, you must have been here on Monday. Yes, I was here on Monday. And I'm going to have a couple things. So I dig into my wallet and I can't find my receipt, which I know I put in there, right? And I said, oh, gosh, I can't find my receipt. And, of course, everybody's listening. And I said, hang on, I know I've got it. Couldn't find it. And I said, oh, well. I said, look, do I have till tomorrow to cash this thing in? Because I'll probably find it when I get home. And she said, oh, yeah, yeah, no worries. And I said, oh, okay, great. Listen, I'm going to have a salad with sofritas and a sofritas bowl to go. And went through the whole thing. I get to the end. Gal rings it up. No one said a word. She rings it up, and she says, that'll be $7.31. And I said, oh, no. I got two entrees. And she said, no. We're giving you a free one tonight. And I said, really? And she said, oh, absolutely. And I said, well, I'll go find it and bring it back. She goes, no. We see you in here all the time. She says, that's you're happy to do it. And I thought, that's one of the reasons that I go to Chipotle. That's why I buy everything on Amazon. I buy everything on Costco. I can. And I go to Chipotle. And, you know, a friend of mine once said, you know, the secret to business is culture, right? And if you don't get the culture right, nothing else matters. Now, this gal, by the name, her name was Zelda. I told her I was doing a podcast tonight, and I'd mention her name. Probably, you know, an $8 an hour a clerk. Never had to ask anybody. Made the decision on her own. And I thought, now that's a company that gets it. One other thing about Chipotle, you've probably heard in the news, and Rogan, you and I are going to do this. They've been so wildly successful with their Mexican fare with Chipotle. And, you know, just insanely, the guy's a billionaire. And he's an amazing guy in animal rights and encouraging people to eat less meat. And this was the whole sofritas thing. They've got plans on the boards in the next 2 years to open up Asian restaurants. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I can't wait, because you know they're going to be fresh and local and very vegetarian, vegan friendly. Tanner calls me today, my son. He says, Dad, there's one on the promenade in Santa Monica. And he said, it's their test one. It's the only one they're going to have for the next year or so until they work out all the bugs, and then they're going to open them nationwide. And I said, well, what's the food like? And he said, you can't get near the place. He says, the lines are around the block day and night. And he said, but I looked at the menu, and it looks unbelievable, all fresh. And he said, probably 50% of it is plant-based. So next time you come to town, we're going to the one and only Chipotle Asian restaurant.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Well, that's great. Cool. Well, we just got a few minutes left here with our good friend Matt Nurden from Santa Barbara, who's been so kind to share his journey with us. And I'm just curious. I think we still got Jeff on the line here. And Rogan, if you guys have any
questions
you'd like to ask Matt. Yeah.
I had a question for Matt. Matt, if someone's trying to change their diet, what's your best advice for someone like that?
Wow. From someone who's failed a lot, I would say my best advice is don't try to do it all at once. You know, we all have things that, you know, are just really hard for us. And my advice is don't try to tackle all those things at one shot, in one shot. Mm-hmm. You know, pick one and go until you have that one mastered. And, you know, for me, that soda, I was a big soda drinker, and you know, as silly as I can intellectually tell myself that's just a terrible habit, I would still drink, you know, just soda every day. So, you know, that was the very first one that I tackled. Just like, I don't drink soda anymore. And so just tackle it one, you know, little small step at a time until you feel like that's no longer one of the demons in your closet, then move on to the next one. You know, we all have, hopefully, a long life to live. So I feel like there's no rush to get there overnight, as long as you're, you know, focused on making permanent choices as opposed to, you know, just trying to reach a short-term goal. Mm-hmm. So, and then look for things that are healthy that you like. That's always been the hardest part for me, is that, you know, and why my wife harasses me a little bit about some of my vegetarian choices, is that, you know, I want to, if I'm eating, I want to have eating be something that's enjoyable. I don't want to lose that, you know, emotional connection to eating that is part of life. And so, you know, I want eating to be fun. But finding things that you really, really like that aren't terrible for you is a good step. So research is really a big part of it. You know, there are just countless places out there where you can go online and books to read and, you know, things like this podcast and otherwise. And Jane is great. She's constantly, I'll give her a plug myself, you know, all the posts on your Facebook pages she puts on a near daily basis make it real easy to find things out there that that are good for you, but that aren't, you know, that aren't terrible to eat at the same time. So those would be my two top suggestions, and I think you follow those, and you'll be successful. So we'll see how I do. I got a long way to go.
Hey, you're doing great. Stick with it.
Great advice, Matt. And this has been a wonderful conversation. We thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight on Mormon Vegetarian. And we'd encourage you to be a frequent guest and contributor. We'd love to have you here. Jeff, thank you for joining us. Jeff Hickson now holds the number one spot for most listened to. We'll see if this podcast can beat you. And Rogan, I will see you in Carmel, California next week. And besides just having a lot of fun, singing some songs, I'm going to bring my ukulele, and playing some tennis. One thing we have to do, we have to take a new photo for our podcast. So something really beautiful. So bring your camera, and that's an assignment we all have. Well, listen, again, our thanks to our guest, Matt Nurden, for Rogan, and all of our friends out there. Thank you for joining us, and we'll look forward to having you next week with another edition of Mormon Vegetarian.
I don't need no meat, no dairy, no sweets, only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school, my household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu, no fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes, only ganja, fresh squeezed juice from oranges. Exercising daily to stay healthy, and I rarely drink water out the tap cause it's filthy.